All right, how's everyone this morning? Doing great. Awesome. So good to be here with you all this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 24. And as we get started, a couple things here. So most of you probably know that Billy Graham passed away this week. And he was someone who influenced me. And it's funny, I got a call from a local news station. They wanted to get a couple pastors' thoughts on Billy Graham's passing. And so they said, "Are you going to be talking about Billy Graham on Sunday?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll mention him." And so we have this interview, and I see the news segment. At the end of the news segment, the newscaster goes, "And Pastor David is going to spend the first 15 minutes of his sermon speaking about Billy Graham and his legacy." And I'm watching this. I never said that. Yeah, it's fake news. So I guess that's how the news works. You say a couple things, and then they extrapolate a little bit. So if you came here this morning and you were expecting to hear 15 minutes about Billy Graham, I apologize, but I do have a quote, and it's one of my all-time favorite quotes by Billy Graham, and I've used this before, and it is a quote that has influenced me and that influences a lot of my work and what I do. And it's this quote: "It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and my job to love." And I just love that quote. So if we could get really good at loving people, I think that'd be amazing. And I think that's what God is calling us to do. And that's the type of people that God is inviting us to become and to be. People who simply love the world. People who will love our neighbors, our coworkers, friends, family. And I understand loving can be extremely difficult sometimes. Like everything in life, loving is an art. And we have to learn it. And we make mistakes with it. It's a journey. But it's our job simply to love. And I think if the church left the judging to God, I think the church would be a much better place. And I think the church would be a way more of a healing place for people. And so it's our job simply to love. So that's, for me, what Billy Graham's legacy means to me and how he has inspired me throughout the years. Now, a couple of years ago, I was on a tour of the Palace of Versailles, and we walked into the first room to start our tour, and there was a group that was leaving that room in order to go on into the next room. And I noticed that the group that was leaving the room, there was one particular person who was in this group, and they were holding a selfie stick. How many of you have selfie sticks? Oh, I could have borrowed it. So they had a selfie stick, and I noticed that as they were leaving the room, the selfie stick got longer and longer and longer, and I noticed that this person was videotaping the room that they were leaving as they were walking into the next room. And that person who was doing the videotaping, they slowly disappeared. I don't know if they went around a corner. I don't know if they just got engulfed by the entire crowd of people that were swarming them, moving them into the next room. But I kept noticing this camera just waving up there in the air. And I was like, this is odd. This person must really love this room. But then we went to the next room, and the same thing happened. And then the next room, I mean, there'd be some rooms, and I would just see a camera waving in the distance over in the hallway into the next room. And so it happened every single room. Now, you know how there's certain images or there's certain scenes that just get burned into your minds? And then you replay those scenes, whether it's a couple hours later, days later, weeks, months, years. I mean, this thing happened about 4 years ago, three, 4 years ago, and yet I still replay this scene in my mind again and again. This, for me, was one of those scenes. I mean, think about this. You're at Versailles. How often are you going to go to Versailles in your life? Maybe once, maybe twice if you're really lucky. And it's like this famous palace with over-the-top decorations, over-the-top architecture, and yet I just couldn't help but thinking, this dude is experiencing everything through a screen rather than being present in the experience itself. You ever experienced this? Maybe you notice someone, or maybe you yourself have done this, and you're experiencing life through a screen rather than actually being fully present in the moment that you're in. And so for me, this raises the question, how much of our lives are we truly experiencing? I remember after Versailles, I was at a concert, and this was one of my all-time favorite bands, and they were playing one of those songs that will get you up in the morning. And so I pulled my phone out in order to take a couple of pictures and shoot some video of this, and all of a sudden, as I was recording this song, something hit me. I think I had a flashback to Versailles, and I started thinking, why am I doing this? I am here experiencing one of the greatest bands in the world, my opinion, my humble opinion, and yet I am experiencing this song through a screen, because here I was. You ever do this? You ever at a concert? You have to hold your phone up a certain way so you don't get the heads of the people that are right in front of you. And so instead of actually watching them play this song or experiencing it, you're more concerned with just making sure that you have the perfect angle up there. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah. All right. And so I was thinking about this, and I just put my phone away, and I said, you know what? I am simply going to just immerse myself in this moment. I'm simply going to be fully present here for the rest of this concert. We're in this season of Lent here at Awaken. Lent is the 6 weeks leading up to Resurrection Sunday. So Lent is the time of preparation. It's a time to prepare ourselves, to prepare our hearts to receive resurrection. And so we said that what we're doing here at Awaken over these 6 weeks is we are learning what it means to embrace our dust. What does it mean for us to embrace the truth about our smallness, our finiteness? And we said that we're going to look to how is it that we can find life and joy and hope? How can we find resurrection by embracing our mortality? So the question that we asked last week, and the question that is driving us for these 6 weeks, is this question: how do I truly live and experience this gift of breath that I've been given? Because your life is a gift. Your life is a beautiful gift that has been given to you. There's nothing that you have done in order to deserve your very breath. It is simply a gift that has been bestowed upon you. So how is it that we can truly live and experience this gift that we've been given? And so last week, we looked at a prayer by a psalmist. Psalms chapter 90, verse 12. We go to the next slide. We have this prayer up here. And this psalmist prays, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And we said that this was going to be our prayer for these 6 weeks. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to see the beauty of this life, so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. See, what the psalmist understands, what the psalmist is acknowledging, is that by acknowledging the truth about our mortality, rather than denying it like we so often do, avoiding it, pretending like it's not there, like it's this elephant in the room that we don't talk about, but rather by entering into it and embracing that truth, that we will gain a heart of wisdom. That in some way, by embracing the truth of our mortality, we will gain this divine wisdom, this God-given wisdom into how to invest our lives, how to make decisions in a way that brings life and hope and resurrection to ourselves. And when I think about that experience at the Palace of Versailles. And I think about this verse, I can't help but think that this is a prayer that I need more than ever in my life. I can't help but think that this is a prayer that we as a culture, that we as a global community need more than ever. Help us to see the preciousness of this life that we've been given so that we may gain this divine wisdom into how to truly live and experience this gift that we've been given. Anyone else? This is the prayer that you need this season of Lent. So I came across this blog a couple of weeks ago. It's by someone who's named Tim Urban, and he has a blog called Wait But Why. And there's one particular post that I have to show you this morning. It's called The Tail End. And what this post is, it is our lives, its events, its activities, all in pictures. And so he starts here. I believe if we go to that PDF, I was able to download a PDF. Let's start here. So The Tail End by Tim Urban. And if we start scrolling down a little bit here, he begins with a first picture. Yeah, that mouse gets a little tricky. So he had a post from a year ago, and if we keep scrolling down a little, we're going to have a bunch of diamonds right there. So he laid out the human lifespan by years. Now, he's an optimist, so he believes that he's going to live to the year 90. So each of those diamonds on the top represents 1 year of his life. And then he wanted to go a little bit deeper. So if we scroll down a bit, he said a 90-year human life in months. Now, each row is 36 months. Each row is 3 years. If you live to 90, that's about how many months you'll have in a life. If we keep scrolling, he goes to weeks. Here's a 90-year human life in weeks. Look at that. You can almost count all the weeks that we'll experience. And then he wanted to take it a little bit deeper, and so he said all of the days in a 90-year human life. Those are all the days that you will experience. And one of the great things, actually, what he found fascinating is that you could actually fit all the days of your life on one single sheet of paper. I almost printed this out to hand to everyone here this morning. Now, he says that instead of counting life by days, months, weeks, years, he wanted to start counting his life, looking at his life in terms of events or activities. Now, he's 34 years old. He believes he's going to live till 90. Again, he's an optimist. And so if we keep scrolling down here, first, he started right there with the amount of winters that he has left in his life. So he says, I have about under 60 winters left. How many of you love winter? A couple of us over here on this side of the room. So if you're a summer lover, maybe for you a better image would be a picture of sun instead of a snowflake. We go to the next slide, or to the next picture down here, right there, about 60 Super Bowls. So it's about 60 more opportunities to get together with people, watch some fun commercials, eat queso dip, pizza, buffalo cheese dip, whatever you love to do for the Super Bowl, about maybe 60, and you know, we can all decide about how many there's left. If we go to the next image right here, he talks about the ocean. He goes to the ocean. He gets into the water about once a year. Not too often. To me, it's once a year, that doesn't cut it. Man, this poor guy, he's not living. So he has about 60 more times in the water. If you keep scrolling down, this one really hits me hard. He realizes that he reads about 5 books a year. And so he said that maybe he has about 300 books left in him. So he has to choose wisely, which books will I choose to read, because I am never going to read all the books that are out there. So let me just choose the top 5 every year, the top 300, and just realize, I think he says, I'm going to sign off for all eternity never knowing what is in the rest of those books. And then we keep going down. Red Sox. Who cares about that, right? Any Red Sox fans here? We may have a little corner for you in the back there. There's a timeout booth in the back. And then we have presidential elections. And then this one is amazing. This one is the amount of times left that he has to eat cheese pizza. Because he eats this multiple times a month. So if we keep scrolling, actually, I think, there we go. Look at all that cheese pizza. Anyone else think you have more cheese pizza in you than him? Very optimistic, yes. But then he says all of this are just sort of surface events. And sure, he enjoys them, he loves them, but then it got him thinking a little deeper about his relationships, specifically his relationship with his parents. And if we scroll down a little bit here and keep going, right there, all the red that you see are X's through a few stick figures. And if we keep scrolling, keep going, right there. He assumes that what you see in those bottom couple of rows are the amount of times that he has left with his parents. That's why this post is entitled The Tail End, because he sees that he's in the tail end of his time with his parents. He says when he was living with his parents growing up as a kid, he said that constituted the majority of the time that he was going to see his parents. And so by doing this activity, by doing this exercise for him, it caused him to make some different decisions about what priorities truly mattered for him in his life, about vacations. I think he started going on a vacation once a year with his parents after he made this blog post. He started thinking about his sister who lived in a different city and how often he would see her. Started thinking about some of his high school, college friends, because to him, cheese pizza, whatever. But it was the relationships that mattered. And by looking at this and by putting X's through all the times that are no longer available for him, it caused him to reshift his priorities. And it made him think about being present, fully present, in all the experiences that he had, in all the times that he had with his friends, family, loved ones. Now, this idea of being present, this isn't actually a new idea. This isn't a modern idea, but rather it's actually a pretty ancient idea from a few thousand years ago. If you have your Bibles, let's look at Exodus chapter 24. And what we have here is we have Moses being summoned to the mountain. God is calling Moses to the mountain. God says, I have a couple of things for you, Moses. I want to talk to you about a couple of things. So why don't you come up to the mountain? And so this command that's given, the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay here. And I'll give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandments that I have written for their instruction. Maybe a better translation of this would actually be, come up to me on the mountain and be here. Be here is actually probably more accurate to the Hebrew translation. Now, does this not seem redundant? Come up to the mountain and be here. If he's already on the top of the mountain, well, isn't he already there? Unless God knows something about us as humans, about the truth that we can be here, but we're really somewhere else completely. You ever have this experience where you're here, but you're really there? You're at dinner with your family, but you're really back at this argument that you had with a friend last Tuesday night. So you're there, but your mind really is somewhere else. Or maybe you're having a great conversation with a friend, but yet you're really back at work. with that nagging remark that she made about your clothes 6 months ago that you just can't seem to shake off. Or maybe you're at the party, but in reality, you're somewhere in the future, trying to come up with the perfect roadmap for your life, trying to plot and scheme and manipulate how everything is going to go. So you're at the party, but you're really somewhere else, far off in the future. Or you're on the phone with someone, and you're having a great conversation, but they can't see you. And so you decide to do a crossword puzzle, or you decide to just scroll through the internet. So you're there, but you're really somewhere else. Have you ever experienced this before? Where you're here, but you're really there. One of the things that I do every single night is I feed Reese a bottle before he goes to bed. And I love it. It's one of the best parts of the day. And I hate when I'm not there in order to give him a bottle to put him to sleep. But I've noticed that there have been a couple of nights where I'm there in this darkened room putting him to sleep, and I start thinking about conversations that I'd had earlier that day, or even earlier that week, or even a month ago, and I start thinking, oh, I should have said that to them, or oh, I should have left that part out, or you know what, why do I let them get under my skin? I know every single time they're going to say that, yet it still bothers me. Oh, next time it's going to be different. Or then there's other times where I'm thinking about that to-do list, that ever-present to-do list that we carry around with us. And I'm thinking about the next 5 things that I have to do on that list. Or I'm thinking about the things that I have to add to the list. Oh, I have to go here. I have to pick this up. I got to order this on Amazon Prime so it gets here in enough time. And I'm like, yeah, I'm there feeding him, but I'm somewhere in the past or I'm somewhere in the future. And so the other night, I was just sitting there, and I was thinking about this sermon, and I was thinking about Moses on the mountain, and I was thinking about all those pictures from that blog, and I just sat there, let out a deep breath, and started telling myself, be here, be here, be here. See, I realize that getting the opportunity to feed him and put him to bed at night, I have a limited amount of times left that I will be able to do that. It will not last forever. There'll be a moment when that time will no longer be a reality. And so as with looking at the pictures from the blog, looking at all those events, it screams out, don't take this moment for granted. Don't let this moment, this experience, pass you by. Maybe that's a phrase that you need to hear throughout your day. Maybe it's a mantra that you just need to repeat at certain phrases throughout the day. Maybe you got to get it tattooed on your forearm. Every time you look down at your watch, you see, be here. Maybe you need to have a friend who will just text this to you at various moments throughout the day over this next week. Be here. Be here. Be here. This moment, this opportunity, the time with these people, it will not last forever. So throw yourself into that experience. Live it fully. Be fully present there in that moment. Be here. Now there's 2 questions that I want to give you as a way to practice this art of being here. So the first question, is there anything taking you away from being here? When we think about the story of Moses, I guarantee you that Moses is just like you and me. He's got a whole bunch of things in his head. As he's climbing up the mountain, remember, Moses is leading a group of ex-slaves through the desert. He acts as this middleman between God and the people. So when Moses is climbing up the mountain, I guarantee you he had all these regrets in his mind about decisions that he had made before. He has all these anxieties about what he's going to tell Jim when he gets back down off the mountain because Jim didn't keep the camp in order. Yeah, so Moses is climbing up the mountain and he has all sorts of things flowing through his mind, taking him away from being present in that moment. And yet it's only by learning to silence those voices, by learning to silence those thoughts, that he was able to experience what God wanted to do in his life, what God wanted to speak to him. See, sometimes we don't experience God in our lives because we're here, but we're really somewhere else. Because our head is crammed full of regrets, anxieties, past failures. And so God is offering this invitation. The invitation to Moses, the invitation to us, is simply to be here. To let go of those voices. To learn to silence all those other thoughts so that you can be here in order to experience God and experience life fully. So when you think about this question, when you reflect back on this question, maybe for some of you, it automatically snaps and you say, oh yeah, I know exactly what's taking me away from being present. Maybe for some of you, you need to sit with this question for a while. You need to reflect on it. You need to journal for a little bit. Maybe for others, you need to ask someone else, is there something that's taking me away from being here? Because I guarantee you, if you ask someone else, they'll have some really brilliant things to say to you. Some things that maybe you weren't even aware of what were going on. You know what? You seem a little bit distant. You seem a little bit far off. You seem here, but you're actually somewhere. You seem like you're somewhere else. And you start thinking about that. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I realize that I've been carrying around what he said for the past couple of weeks. Or there's this thing that blew up in my face and I just haven't been able to let it go. So maybe when someone asks you or when you ask someone else the question and they can help you begin to sort through that a little bit, you can begin to question and poke and prod and get curious about those moments, about those times when you aren't fully present. Because awareness is key. Until you have awareness of what you're carrying around with you, until you have awareness of what's in your head, you can't start addressing it. And so maybe by just asking someone else, hey, do I seem like I'm fully here? Is there anything that seems to be taking me away? Maybe they'll just say, yeah, it's your phone. I showed up to lunch one time with someone, and I kid you not, the first 10 minutes, on the phone. We get there, on the phone. We order, on the phone. And I'm thinking, why am I having lunch with you again? So maybe sometimes it's a very specific, tangible item, but other times it's all the regrets that you carry from the past, or it's all the anxieties about the future that you carry with you that take you away from being present and experiencing what it is that God wants to do in that moment. And then a second question for us this morning. Are there any pictures or images that you need in order to help you see the preciousness of each moment? Yeah, maybe cheese pizza doesn't do it for you. Or maybe you're like, good riddance to the winter. You're like, books? What books? I haven't picked up a book in years. But maybe there's something else that you've been taking for granted. And so maybe for you this week, it would be really helpful for you just to put those pictures on an index card, on a piece of paper, carry it with you, put it on a computer so you can be reminded this isn't going to last forever. This will not always be here. So let me enjoy and embrace this moment. Yeah, we all need an invitation. We all need a reminder to be here. With the speed of life, with the amount of messages that are constantly bombarding us, the messages telling us about what matters in life, what the commercials are trying to sell us, what they want you to buy, we need to be reminded of our priorities, of what truly matters, of what truly brings life. And so the invitation for us this week of Lent is to be here, to simply be here, and to get really curious about what is taking us away from the moment, what is robbing us of the life that is in front of us. Let me pray here for us this morning. God, we come to you this morning in this season of Lent. God, this season that reminds us of our dependence upon you. God, a season that reminds us of our frailty, our smallness, our limitedness. So God, I pray that as we're here this morning, as we go through our week, that we would be reminded of this gift of life that you've given us. God, this gift of breath that you've given. And God, I pray that as we reflect on that truth, that we would come to see the preciousness, the sacredness of every single moment. And God, as the psalmist prayed, teach us to number our days so we may gain a heart of wisdom. God, I pray that we would gain divine wisdom, that we would, that you would give us this God-given wisdom to know how to invest our lives, what to spend our time on. God, that you would give us wisdom to know what truly matters, what brings life, so that we may fully experience this gift of breath that you've given us. So God, as you commanded Moses to be here, I pray that we would be here, wherever here is, wherever we are this week. God, I ask that we would fully throw ourselves into that moment. And that as we do, God, that we would experience you in that moment. And that we would find life, true life. So we pray and we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.